Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series. And this is the ebook series where we attempt to methodically go through Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation. And we're going to do that a moment after prayer. I want to apologize. Not only did I start the rosary a minute late today, I also did not select the share sound. So for 90% of the rosary, you could not hear anything. It was not your computer, but it was me. Actually, I found that out when Maureen said, I can't hear. And so, oops, me. So sorry about that. It's tough when you don't have a lot of sleep. I haven't had the last couple of days. But anyway, we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And I'll try to do this right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most Holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and to live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So just a joy again to come together today. Grateful to have awakened, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. I think we're recognizing that every day as we journey deeper into the divine will, and things get greater, they get brighter, and then the world, contrarily, it looks like it's getting worse and darker. It's almost like, you know, when Father Celso says, you know, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west and vice versa. There's always going to be a light, and I think the light that's coming and that's actually here is going to stay with us for quite a while. And that's a good thing. Another good thing is also if I can ask Maureen to unmute. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everybody.
What a great day to be alive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Before we go to the material, I have two quotes that I can't get out of my head today, actually for 2 days now. The first one, we just celebrated, I think it was on Thursday, the feast of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, the first Catholic saint. The founders of the I think the first Catholic schools. And that's funny too, because in Maria Valtorta's book, she quotes our Blessed Mother stating, "I will never send Jesus to school." Actually, if you think about it, Our Lady was the one that pioneered homeschooling. First homeschooling mm-hmm. mother was Our Blessed Lady. That's really cool. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's what. So this is what Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton says. And I didn't know this. I knew very little about her. And actually, We have her right here as a first class relic of her.
Oh, oops. I have a first class relic of her too. Yes.
Oh, great. Well, they can kiss one day.
Yes.
Okay. So it's great, Maureen. So this is what Elizabeth Ann Seton said. It's her prayer to God. It could be ours too. Quote, "Oh my God, forget what I have been, correct what I am, and direct what I shall be," end quote. How great is that? Then she also went on to say, "Without prayer, I shall be of little service." And that's so, end quote, and that's so appropriate too for the divine will, because again, we're doing this on behalf of all souls, past, present. But this is not about us. It's not about even Jesus. This is not about the formation of a saint. This is way beyond that. And then this is her last quote that I'll share today. She stated, quote, "This union of my will with God is my wealth. It is my wealth in poverty and in joy, and it's my joy in deepest affliction."
Is that end Elizabeth quote. Ann Seton?
Yeah, yeah.
Peter, one story, it's very short, that I heard about her, which fascinated me, was that during the Civil War, I think the Confederate Army was coming towards Emmitsburg, and there was a battle, a great battle to take place there. So she had her sisters pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and they went past Emmitsburg and ended up in a place called Gettysburg.
I do recall that. That's absolutely
Fascinating, isn't it?
isn't it incredible? Now, Maureen, there's something we can hear you, but your voice is not, it's not perfect like it usually is. So I'm not sure if the jack is not fully in, or I mean, it's audible enough to continue, but we want you to sound as great as you do. Actually, while you're doing that, there was one more quote that she said, and this is very close to what Jesus tells us too. Her last words before her death was, quote, "I am going to light, to love, and to life," end quote. And Jesus tells us that the divine will is love, light, and life. Same three, just not exactly the same order. So just absolutely beautiful. And the last but not least quote I'd love to share, and this is one that's going to stay with everybody. Think of what Saint Augustine said. He says, quote, "If you understand God, it is not God," end quote. Wow. And that's also the reason why we have the Article 66, the explication of the Catechism says, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the future generations to better understand what has already been given. See, this explication, all of God's work being expletive, is going to be for the rest of our lives and in heaven for eternity. We're never going to know God fully. But we're always going to be knowing God better or more. It's just incredible. So I just thought, if you understand God, I got it. It's not God. So that's something to be, I think it's a beautiful quote to keep us all a bit humble. Okay. Well, this is the book series, and it comes at a great time too, because we've talked about this. And for those of you joining us for the first time, this is Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation. He used this as his dissertation for his doctorate degree in mysticism. So what he did was he took all of Luis's writings, he translated it from Italian to English, then he summarized everything that Luisa penned. Again, this was written by Jesus, written by our Blessed Mother. He summarized it and then drives us into the volumes where we may see the cooperation between Father Iannuzzi's analysis, his summary, and what Jesus and our Blessed Lady had spoken to Luisa, or had spoken to us through Luisa. So again, great. And another beautiful thing also is that this dissertation received abrogation, which is the scholastic term for approval. So it received approval by the pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which is authorized by the Holy See. It gave its stamp of approval. So everything in this dissertation has been approved technically by the church. How beautiful. How beautiful. And as we await the critical edition of Luisa's writings, remember the typical edition came out, I think, 2 years ago, where they took all the grammatical errors out, and they took the slang out, and they understood different contexts. But it wasn't the full breadth with the footnotes. That's what the critical edition will be. But the Archbishop, I think, a couple of years ago, gave us an announcement that basically it's been sort of everything's in hold or pause mode because there are no errors. We'll be very clear in that. There are no errors in Luisa's writings. Otherwise, the typical edition would have never been released. The Son of My Will, the biography of Luisa Picaretta, would have never been published by the Vatican Publishing Company. So there are no errors. But there are ambiguities. There are things in the writings that the church cannot explain. And I guess it comes as no surprise. Jesus said the church is going to try to analyze this and look at this from a human perspective, and they're not going to be able to fully understand it. It takes grace. It takes a mystical gift to be able to understand this language of heaven. So we're not quite sure how long that's going to take. I think it could be rectified quickly if they, perhaps if they asked Father Iannuzzi, but nobody's asked him to help out in this. I mean, he works on many other causes of beatification and canonization for other mystics, but they have not asked him to get involved here. So, but with that, it's great news though, because remember, Jesus has given us the opportunity now to embrace this gift in faith for the most part. And faith is so vital. Remember, every time somebody was healed, it was your faith that healed you. Jesus said, "When I return, will I find faith?" And in volume two, excuse me, Jesus gives us the definition of, excuse me for a second. Bad allergies time. Jesus gives us the definition as the language of heaven. What is faith? And he simply says, faith equals God. So when he says, when I return, will I find faith? Well, he's basically saying, well, will you be wanting me? Will you be desiring me? Will you be loving me? So again, we don't know how long it's going to take, but we do have this dissertation, which has the approval of the church. So you cannot go against it. Again, you cannot, if a priest says, you know, this is wrong or this is not correct, or you're forbidden for reading this. Same with the divine will. I mean, with the Hours of the Passion, the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, the first 19 volumes, they all have the church's imprimatur in the Elapsa. Anybody who goes against the church's seals of approval, as per Father Annuzzi states, if they go against those seals, they're in heresy. Now, they may not know it, but they're in heresy. So you have no obligation to listen. That would be a false obedience. So that's why I think, Maureen, when Father John Olin Brown came, he said, place this in the homes. Do it locally. Yes, if the church embraces you and they call you and they say, yes, you can have a place, you can have a room, great. And the priest wants to get involved. That's the ultimate goal. But don't get in a situation like, for example, my local church here, they had a Divine Will Synagogue group going. I wasn't a part of it. Somebody else was a part of it. And it was going well. And then all of a sudden, the new priest comes in, the new pastor, and he was given some bad information that I believe he didn't corroborate. And he told everyone, well, you cannot gather, you cannot use the dissertation because Father Annuzzi's not a priest. That's exactly what he
I'm
said.
I'm sorry.
So the gentleman who heard this, who was part of our synodical group, he told me this. And I said, okay, well, why don't I give you the letter from Father Annuzzi's superior of the St. Joseph Oblates, the superior of the whole congregation from Rome. I'll give you a letter of Father Annuzzi being a priest in good standing and a priest given permission to speak about the divine will. And I gave it to this gentleman, and this gentleman tried to bring it to the pastor. He showed it to him. He handed it to him, but the priest wouldn't take it. The pastor wouldn't take it. So again, we're going to learn tonight how Jesus states this divine will mysteriously can have two totally opposite effects. People are either going to be in love with it, and it's their life, their light, and their love, or they're going to say, you know, this is the worst thing in the world. You know, I had somebody, actually, we had a friend of ours when we first started the journey in the divine will, husband and wife from New Jersey. They came all the way out here to sit down, my wife and I, to say, you're making a terrible mistake with this divine will. You must give it up. I said, why? Have you read it? No. Well, why are you saying that? Well, we know this very intelligent woman in Florida, and she says, yeah, but you have to read it. You have to do some homework. I mean, I look at it this way. If we're on the wrong track, which I know we're not, I say this jokingly, do you think God's going to be upset about us, about embracing this gift? How can he? He'll be so angry at St. John Paul II, St. Hannibal de Francia, St. Padre Pio, St. Pius X, or, you know, all these other, you know, bishops and popes that have endorsed St. John Paul II, you can include that, and you could also put Pope Benedict Emeritus. So again, this it cannot be. The Vatican published their biography, so, you know, don't listen to that, but you're going to see it, and we're going to read also what Jesus says. There's going to be two opposite effects. Don't worry about it. Don't take credence to it. Don't get angry at it. Pray. Pray for them, just like St. Elizabeth Seton says. She says, quote, without prayer, I should be of little service. So how can we help these folks who are in error? Because we were in error at one point in time, maybe still in error in other things. We can do it through prayer, collective prayer. That's the communion of saints. Anything to add to that, Maria?
No, just that's what Louisa did, right? I mean, her life was a life of prayer and sacrifice. Greatest saint that ever lived.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. And last but not least, we know that the late Archbishop and also the current bishop articulate the same comments, same statement. The late Archbishop Pacieri had asked that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. Now, this does not mean we cannot gather, we cannot read, we cannot listen to, we cannot discuss. It doesn't mean any of that. In fact, the Archbishop said that. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, though, but when you get involved in those ambiguities like the Vatican has right now with the writings, when you have those questions that we cannot answer just because maybe lack of education, lack of experience, whatever the case may be, we go to a priest. Now, if you go to just any priest, you know, good luck. You're probably not going to get a lot of good information because they don't know the divine will. How can they expand upon it? They probably will say, well, don't read it as a precautionary measure because they don't know it. How can they endorse something they don't know? So if you are able to find a divine will priest, it's very difficult to have that constancy of being able to communicate because they're just so busy. There's just so few of them. But here we have the dissertation, which has everything we need. In fact, in the back of it, if you want to do your own homework sometimes, like this is what my dissertation looks like. If you want to look up fusing in the glossary, well, then Father Nuzzi will drive you into about 15 different volumes where Jesus talks about fusing. Then you can, you know, copy and paste. And if you get this in the ebooks version, it's even better. You can copy and paste and make your own documents on fusing, on bilocation, everything else that has to do with the divine will. We have it all here, and it has the church's approval. No one can go against this. If they do, they're in heresy. So again, we're not proud. We're not joyful that they're in heresy, but we have to pray for them. It gives us opportunity. But yeah, so we have this beautiful, beautiful treasure. And I know what you're saying. Come on, Peter, let's get to it. We don't want to hear you. And that's exactly what we're going to do right now. Maureen, we're still on 6.1.5.1 because we say we want to do this methodically. This is not a rush. This is not, when I was growing up, they had this Evelyn Wood speed reading. I don't know if they still have that available, but anyway, how you can read real fast. I don't know. I mean, look at what St. Hannibal de Francia said. St. Hannibal de Francia said he reads on a daily basis no more than 1 to 2 passages because he wants to fully understand to the best of his human ability what Jesus or our Blessed Mother is stating, and then, of course, ask God for enlightenment or our Blessed Lady for enlightenment. Both are qualified to give that enlightenment on the divine will. So, again, this exchange of properties which we're on right now, we're going to do a recap of 103. So maybe we'll stop there. I want to do that quickly. I promise I won't interrupt you. And then we'll go on to the footnote 104. We'll read a couple of lines again and go to that one, if that's okay. Okay. Let me bring out the pointer. Okay. Thanks, Maureen.
Okay. If Thomas describes that the human will of Christ as sharing in the operation of his divine will that moves and rules, such that the different wills in Christ accomplish one indifferent operation, to Louisa, Jesus reveals how his divine will cooperated with my human will, how everything remained linked within me, how I did and redid everything, and how each thought of every soul was redone by me and sealed with my divine will.
That's extraordinary. Mm-hmm. That he's done that. It's already been done. Now we have to just affirm it. We have to claim it. We have to say, yes, Lord, I will accept what you've done for me. So again, he's not going to force us. That's what's so beautiful about this. Our Lord is such a gentleman. He's the ultimate gentleman. He says, here, I've done it. You can have it. You need more information? Do you need more time to think about it? He's not going to force us. But he's going to try to coerce us. And if he has to do it more aggressively, he will. Because again, this is not arbitrary. This is about our eternal salvation forever. There's only one of two places our soul can go. It's going to live forever in one of two places. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a gambler. I mean, every time I've gambled, I've lost. So I don't gamble. And why should we gamble on our eternal salvation? That's for sure. Okay, so 103, Maureen, mm-hmm. We've gone through this before, but I'd like to start. Probably the wrong version. Okay, why don't we start with my love, and okay. We'll take that to the end. We can take it to that cross. I'll be really brief, and then we can go down here. Okay, thanks.
Okay. My love wants to pour itself out. It wants to make known to what excess my divinity went when operating in my humanity for love of souls, the excess that greatly surpasses that which my humanity operated externally. This is also why I often speak to you about living in my will, which I have not manifested to anyone until now. At best, others have known but a pale shadow of my will, that is, the grace and the sweetness of doing it. But to penetrate inside of it, to embrace its immensity, to be multiplied with me and, while on earth, to penetrate everywhere, both in heaven and in hearts on earth. laying down the human ways and acting in divine ways. This is not yet known.
Okay, so here's a great tool for our apologetics when somebody says, and it happens often, again, to no fault of most of the people that say it, they'll say, well, the saints 300 years ago, they had this, the saints, the apostles had this. Yeah, it was all, this was all a gimme. There's nothing new here. Jesus says, no, it's never been manifested before. Yes, there may have been inklings, there may have been tinges of information given, enlightenment given to the saints of the past. We know that for a fact. Many of them have spoken about it. I mean, look at St. Elizabeth of Siena. I'm going to light, life, and love. I mean, same what Jesus says, except turn around a bit. And I know Jesus is not copying St. Elizabeth of Siena, but she's using her inspiration. So again, it's new. It's that new way of living. It's that new and divine will of the new holiness, this new divinity of how we approach things. It's language of heaven. All those things we can say what they are. But in essence, again, it goes back to the Article 66. This is just a better understanding what has already been given to us. And it's all being explicated really fully in the divine will. Now, we may not interpret it fully at first, but it's there. Again, I'm not even close to just scratching the surface, but we're going to wake up one morning and we're going to say, wow, wait a minute. That thing I've been pondering for the last 3 days or 4 days or 2 weeks, it's beginning to make sense now. Why? Because Jesus says he's going to give to us what we want. He's going to feed our desire. If we really desire to know something, he's going to allow us to have it. He may not do it instantaneously. We can't snap our fingers, but we will get it. You know, remember, Jesus says grace anticipates the soul. So this is really important also. This next couple lines, Maureen, if we could.
Okay. Indeed, not to a few will this appear strange, and those who do not keep their minds open to the light of truth will not understand a thing. But little by little, I will make my way into their hearts, manifesting one moment one truth, another moment another truth, about living in my will, so that they will eventually understand it.
Now, Jesus uses a different way of conjugating the sentence where I read it a couple times. I'm confused what he's trying to say, but if we take it slowly, indeed, not to a few, not to a few will they understand it, not to a few will this appear strange. So for the most part, most people, this will appear strange to. And because most, again, do not keep their minds opened to the light of truth and will not understand a thing. And again, I've got really, really great friends that love the traditional aspect of our church. But the guidance that they've received has been to the point where they're limiting God. I mean, they don't really accept anything the church has given to us or God has given through the church since 1962. They will not accept it. That includes divine mercy. They definitely won't hear the divine will. And they're missing out on so much. Again, if God wanted the church to stop at pre-Vatican II, it would have. But God allowed. Remember, Vatican II opened up all the doors for the divine will. Yes, there were people who hijacked, and there are people that hijack everything in the church. Because remember, Satan is there to destroy. Mm-hmm. Remember in 70 AD, the Levites, well, first of all, when they put Jesus to death, they thought this whole thing would be over. Okay, it's done. Let's move on. And then they said, no, it's growing. These apostles are all over the place. They're all over the world. So in 70 AD, the Levites, who were the scribes and the Pharisees predominantly, they formed what's called the miraculous force, which was really created to kill the word of God and to kill anyone who speaks it. And then this miraculous force for almost 1,500 years operated doing this and infiltrating and doing all kinds of evil things. Well, in the 1500s, when Martin Luther made the break from Catholicism, they decided, okay, we don't have a name that's attracting enough people, so we have to change our name. So they decided at that time to change their name from the Miraculous Force to the Freemasons.
Oh, geez.
And that's who they've been since the 1500s.
Wow.
So again, this has never, it started very early. It's never ended, this attack on Jesus, this attack on his church, this attack on those who follow Jesus. So no surprise what we're experiencing today in the world. And again, not to a few will this appear strange. So most people will find this strange. Only a few will be enlightened by it. And that's where we really have to be very, I think we have to be so thankful. Our gratitude must be so immense, because think about it. We're all looking at the same object. We're all looking at this, this glass holder. And I see a woman holding buckets of water, and somebody else is going to see a man digging a hole. How can that be? How can we all look at the same object? How can we all look at the divine will and have so many varying degrees of understanding, and which is okay, and opposite effects, which Jesus talks about. And that's where we're going to go just really quickly to elaborate on that last sentence. Indeed, not a few will disappear strange, and those who will not keep their minds open to the light of truth will not understand a thing. That's what Jesus told us. This is volume 12. It says the church's imprimatur nihilopsa. They found nothing wrong with that statement. And here Jesus jumps from volume 12 to volume 36, which again is the finale. He's giving us all the takeaways that we need. And here's what he says, just an excerpt as to about these opposite effects.
Volume 36, May 19th, 1938, Opposite Effects. So whoever will read these writings with the intention of finding the truth will feel my flames, and all transformed in love will love me more. But whoever will read them to split hairs and find doubts will remain blinded and confused by my light and my love. My children, the goodness of my truths produces two opposite effects. For those who are disposed, it is light giving sight to their intelligence and the life of sanctity contained in my truths. For those who are not disposed, it is blindness that deprives them of a good contained in my truths.
So we don't have to ask the question anymore. Jesus answered it for us. That's how 10 people can look at the same thing and only one recognizes the value, the magnificence in the divine will. And you know, I've learned to say what our Lord said on the cross. Forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do. Many, many people that work against the divine will don't know what they're doing, because if they knew, they wouldn't do it. But there are some. There are some with nefarious reasons that know exactly what they're doing, and they continue to do that to deprive souls from being brought back to that place, that purpose, and that order, which we were created by God, to go back to that preelection era of Adam. So it's all here. We understand why. And again, we're not to shout at them and curse them down. We pray for them. We do what we can. Again, going back to St. Hannibal, Maureen, he said when it came to sharing the divine will, he would only do it with those souls he felt moved to do so with. So he didn't stand with a placard, come to the divine will. He didn't take out newspaper articles about it. Whenever he was moved to, he would share it. That doesn't mean he was successful all the time with converting them. But again, it doesn't mean we should keep this in ourselves. But again, we can let God prompt us to what to do. He will.
Yeah,
he will. So long as we're quiet, he does. And we're going to fill those voids. Because again, this word, Jesus says, this must be known. He says, everything is completed. I forget what volume that's in. But this must be known. Of course, it must be known to us first so we can share it. And then to those, to give them the opportunity to see which one of those opposite effects that, again, because we want everyone to share the joy and the fulfillment that we feel after embracing this gift? Of course we do. And God knows our intention. So again, every time we do an act and round, that's why it's so important. God, and again, in the volumes, he says that too. He will be so moved, so enamored that he will send down a dew of disposition, of thoughtfulness toward the divine will, of desire for the divine will. He's going to shower this. So all of a sudden, somebody eventually is going to wake up and say, I want to know about this divine will. And they won't even know where it came from. So that's how we can do it. And just like St. Anselm said, without prayer, I should be of little service. Well, acts and rounds are a prayer in the divine will. And again, those acts, those rounds, God is taking, he's so embracing them and so pleased with that, that he's taking it on behalf of all souls to help them understand, to see also, and to find the right effect, not the opposite effect, for each and every one of us. Sorry about that. So now we can go back up to 104, Maureen, because this is a great footnote as well. We have time. How are you on time, Maureen?
Good, I'm fine.
Okay. I think I passed it. No, sorry. If you're getting dizzy, blame me. Don't blame Maureen. Okay,
There
so
we go.
here, so we'll go from Jesus and take it to 104, please.
Jesus reassures Louisa that to those who desire to live in his divine will, he progressively reveals to what excess my divinity went when operating within my humanity. For love of souls, an excess that greatly surpasses that which my humanity operated externally to be multiplied with me and, while on earth, to penetrate everywhere, both in heaven and in hearts, putting aside the human ways and operating in divine ways.
Wow. Wow. So again, what a great, great explanation. Now again, this is Father Nuzzi's summary. This is theological summary, which has approval. And again, he brings us to the volumes. And you know what this reminded me of, Maureen, when Father Nuzzi was speaking about this? It reminds you what Jesus says in volume 19, August 31st, 1926. He tells us through Louisa, he states this quote, "Now, how many things there are in my will that I must give to creatures, but they have to come into its kingdom in order to receive them." End quote. So what he's telling us there is that the bulk of the grace and graces and the mysteries and the benefits are going to be once we're inside the door, once we've entered into the divine will. And again, to enter into the divine will does not mean to be in the divine will on the level of Louisa. It's actually not even close. I mean, that's of course where we want to aspire toward, but to get our foot in the door, to enter into the kingdom, Jesus tells us in volume six, he says that anyone in the state of grace with an ardent desire and upright intention will receive the gift. In fact, Father Iannuzzi, who's probably the greatest theologian that has written about the divine will, he states in his book, The Splendor of Creation, which, by the way, is a tremendous, tremendous asset. It's on his website. He tells us that, quote, that anyone in the state of grace can immediately experience God's eternal mode of activity, end quote. So all it takes is to be in the state of grace to enter into the gift. Now, of course, once we enter, that's when the work begins. And what will be given after that, Jesus tells us, will be commensurate to our desire. How much do we want? And Father also speaks about this too, 30-fold, 60-fold, 90-fold, 100-fold. What we want, God will give us. So again, getting that foot in the door, though, is important because that's where we want to get those abundance of graces that Jesus says we must be in the kingdom. We must be in the divine will. You know, I think about the divine will being this big mansion and God allowing us entrance, which is just here. You come into the foyer, get out of the rain, take off your boots. You're in now. But I don't know about you, Maureen, but almost every foyer I've been in, there's no kitchen, there's no bathroom, there's no bedroom. It's a foyer. Now comes our work. Are we going to explore? Are we going to see the rooms? And remember, everything is veiled. And the analogy we keep with the mansion is, it's like when Adam left and he got ejected from the mansion, all the furniture was covered. All sheets thrown out. Now, are we going to go around and unsheet these and unveil these? See all this beautiful couch here, this beautiful, all these lessons, all these virtues are all hidden in this mansion. And they'll only be exposed to us if we're willing to look for them. I mean, that's my simple, erratic, understanding of that. So, but again, just getting our foot in the door, I think, is the number one priority. And Jesus says it's not difficult. He said, I think it's in volume 16. He said that this gift is available for everyone. I wish I had that because that's a really powerful statement. If you're ever having a dry day, Oh, here it is. Okay, volume 11, September 25th, 1913. Blessed Jesus came and told me, and this is Louisa speaking, this is now Jesus speaking, quote, "My daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of living in the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be easy and accessible in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place," end quote. So this is not necessarily hidden once we recognize it's available, if that makes any sense. It has to be. See, God couldn't give this just to a small group. That would be sort of unfair. But he is giving it to that small group predicated on their exercise of their free will, which he'll never take away from us. Do we want to stay where we are in our misery? Or do we want to embrace this gift? And I think, Maureen, there's a reason why everything seems to be broken and deteriorating right now. I think God's giving us every reason to embrace this gift and really say, in layman's term, well, what do I have to lose? Things are not going very well right now, and we've been trying. What do we have to lose? Jesus promised us. Is Jesus misleading us? Of course not. So I think we've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. Try it.
Yeah, when things are coming down, when the stock market crashes, or when the electricity goes, we say, "Praise God, the kingdom's coming. It's getting closer and closer."
That's right.
You know, like, we should practice that. So that when it happens, we're not like, "Oh my gosh." We're saying, "Oh, right. Praise God, the kingdom's on its way." Practice saying it. So, yeah.
Okay. Putting aside the human ways and operating in divine ways is footnote number 104. We can start this. I don't know how much we're going to get into this, but okay. We can try.
Volume 12, January 29th, 1919. God will accomplish the third renewal of humanity by manifesting what his divinity did within his humanity. I was doing the adoration of the wounds of Blessed Jesus, and at the end I recited the creed, intending to enter into the immensity of the divine will, in which there are all the acts of the creatures, past, present, and future, and even those acts which the creature should do, but did not, because of negligence or wickedness. And I was saying, "My Jesus, my love, I enter your volition, and with this creed I intend to redo and repair all the acts of faith which the creatures have not done, all the disbeliefs and the lacks of adoration which is due to God as creator."
Incredible. See, they're Maureen, Jesus, to me, Jesus is articulating too that it's our intention that is so vitally important to him. He knows we can't on our own repair and redo it. It's beyond the pale. We can't even scratch that. But he wants to know our desire. And then he promised to do it with us. You know, it's like you're being a child and you're learning how to write, and your mom or your dad will take your hand with the pencil. Your hand's on the pencil, but they're going to script out what they want to teach you. Then eventually you're going to write that off, and often you're going to learn it. I think that's incredible. The other one also, I think, is what caught my attention was, when he goes on to say, all the acts of a creature's past, present, future, and even those acts which the creature should do but did not because of negligence or wickedness. Now that right there, I think Jesus is explaining the second void. The void, which is those gaps of, quote, missed opportunities to give glory and honor to God on the level of God. And God is explaining right there to repair them, to make them fruitful for God, to make them God-centric. These are acts that we did not do. We failed to recognize the opportunity we had to do on behalf of all souls, past, present, giving glory and honor to God on the level of God, which is only possible in and fused in God's most holy divine will. We can't do that outside. They're nice acts, but they're not going to be divine acts, because God's going to take that act and infuse divinity in it. We cannot do that.
Peter, I have a question. So
yeah.
Isn't it true that we can repair and redo all the acts of the saints that are already in heaven?
Yeah, and place it in the divine will,
place it
thus
in the divine
generating
will.
Accidental glory for those saints.
For like, so for instance, like the Feast of Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton, how would we would say, Lord, I take all the acts of Elizabeth Ann Seton while she was on the earth and place them in the divine will to give her greater accidental glory in heaven. Is that something we could do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the
Good.
accident of glory, some will say, well, wait a minute. Those souls in heaven, they're 100% happy. They're 100% fulfilled. How can you give them more? Well, you're not increasing the percentage of their happiness or their fulfillment, but you basically, again, I'll give you a silly example. You're giving them a bigger container. So, for example, if Saint Francis went to heaven with a 16-ounce container full of all his acts, it can not generate any more ounces. But now, through accidental glory, God can place now Saint Francis into a 24-ounce container and fill that
Jeez.
up. What's greater? It's still 100%, but what's greater, 16 ounces or 24 ounces? So, silly analogy, but that's how the accidental glory sort of kind of works,
Yeah.
where they're given something greater, but it didn't complete their happiness because that's already completed through the beatific vision.
This is one of those things where, if you really believe in the divine will, you say, wow, that's
I can't wait.
awesome.
I know.
That's so awesome. Or if you're down and you're like, I don't believe it. We can't do that. Just the fact that we can actually raise the saints in heaven, and it shows how the divine will is even greater than anything they did on earth when they were on earth.
Yeah. And Louisa says also, I think she'll take this. I'm not sure if Jesus says, but about the saints, they're competing in heaven. Again, this is a nice competition. It's not a bad competition. I mean, they're competing because they want, they're praying, they're hoping that we are going to create this accidental glory because they want to increase their containers. Because again, once you experience the total joy, as we've been told by saints that have been there and come back, you cannot compare it. So of course you want more if it's available to you. And again, they all know what's going on. That's what's so beautiful. This beautiful communion of saints.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I think Jesus says at one point, he says, heaven knows your name.
Wow.
And then when we learn about how we've been so together with Jesus without even thinking about it. I mean, I know Jesus told us that at his birth, we were all present. We were all present. All souls that were going to be born were present. And there was a small section for those that would accept the divine will. I don't know how exactly he framed that. And we can take another church-approved mystic, Saint Mary Agreda, and she articulates. I think it's in volume three, at the Last Supper. Not the yeah, the Last Supper, when Jesus instituted the Eucharist. We were all present. All souls were present, and again, we also get this explication that the first one to receive our Lord's communion was our Blessed Mother. Saint Gabriel came down from heaven and administered Holy Eucharist to our Blessed Mother first. I mean, this is stuff that it was always that way, but we just weren't aware of it. That's the explication, the Article 66, which is so important, especially for our apologetics. We're trying to defend this gift. And again, we can't go crazy defending it and get into fist fights about it. No, that's not what God's asking us to do. We plant the seed, we walk away. God's the only one that can water this. We can't water it. We can water it down. We can give too much water and kill it. We can mess it up. I know I do many times. So again, God's going to do it. We just have to want this and it'll be done. And of course, we can. Intention will only be a complete intention if we do everything within our arsenal to do it, to effectuate whatever end result we want. We do within our capacity, and God says, I'll do the rest and give you credits if you did. Well, I'm using credit enough. Does he use credit? I'm not sure about that. Just don't quote me on it. Okay, where are we?
Okay. While I was saying these and other things, I felt my intelligence being dissolved in the divine will, and a light investing all my intellect, in which I could see my sweet Jesus. This light spoke and spoke, but who can say everything? I will say it confusedly, and then I feel such repugnance that if obedience were not so severe, but more indulgent, it would not force me into such sacrifices. But you, my life, give me the strength and do not leave this poor little ignorant one on her own.
That's a great, don't you think that that was stated so that we may repeat that? I mean, she's the chosen one to usher in the divine will. And she's asking, she's saying, don't leave me alone. Yeah, give me the strength. Great prayer for us. You, my life, give me the strength. Do not leave this poor little ignorant one on her own or on his own. Yeah, we can articulate that as well. What do you think, Maureen? You want to save the second half of this footnote for next week?
I guess you decide. You're the boss.
Well, I'm not the boss. I just don't want to impose on your time.
Oh no, I don't care. I can keep reading. My
Okay,
kids
well,
are gone. My husband's busy. I can.
all right, why don't we let's take it down to the next
Yeah, let's take
cross
it down
and
to the next one. Okay.
okay.
Now, it seemed that he was saying to me, "My beloved daughter, I want to let you know the order of my providence. Every 2,000 years, I have renewed the world. In the first 2,000 years, I renewed it with the deluge. In the second 2,000, I renewed it with my coming upon earth when I manifested my humanity, from which, as if from many fissures, my divinity shone forth."
Okay, here's another explication. God is explaining, because have you ever heard the question, why now? Well, why is God just doing this now? I mean, he's basically telling us it's been his pattern. This is his MO every 2,000 years. That this is epic that happens. And again, I think, writing like this also, Maureen, I think really exemplifies and proves that Louisa could have never written this by herself. She had a first grade education. Simple-minded. I'm not putting her down by saying simple-minded, but she wasn't very articulate. She wasn't well-learned. Again, that's not a negative, but in this case, but to produce this type of writing is just it's impossible. And to give us that incredible explanation as to why now. So again, really, Father's so right. We find out the why, the how, and the when. This is all going to happen. And all indicators point, it's very soon. It really is. Now, what is soon? It's very ambiguous, right? We just talked about ambiguity. But again, Jesus says evil will exhaust itself. I think many people are rushing to be, to compete in evilness, to be more evil. But again, as Jesus says, it's going to hit. I mean, there's only so much evil that can happen. I mean, think about it. I mean, if you want to take a life, a human life, you can take the human life and denigrate it. I mean, there's a limit to what you can do. There's no limit to God, but there's a limit to evilness. Again, and then there's a certain point when things bounce back. I made that silly analogy about several years ago. There was a biography, a movie about Liberace, and Michael Douglas was starred in it. But and again, Liberace lived a homosexual life. The producers and the directors at the end of the movie said, "This is so graphic and so bad that even people that support this lifestyle will be re repulsed at it." And again, they don't want to reverse evil. So they said, "We can't show this in the States. Just show this overseas." So it never made it to the movie theaters because it was so bad that even people that endorse that type of activity would say, "This is what it is. I don't want any part of that." And
Oh,
we come to the
gosh.
light. So yeah, so that's where, even evil strategizes. They want to be as evil as they can without people noticing it's evil. Remember, a lot of people that are doing bad things, like Our Lady told us in Fatima, she said, "There'll come a time there'll be a diabolical disorientation. Good will be bad, bad will be good. Even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good." And that's really where we are. I mean, there are certain people, I think many that are doing bad things that they think they're really helping. And I know that there are people that know exactly what they're doing and they're just working for the wrong boss.
It says somewhere in the volumes that when evil rises up high enough towards heaven, it turns around and falls down on us. So we're getting to that point.
And let's turn that around in another phrase too. Let's say we have a yo-yo. And let's say evil's now been dropped out of our hand. Well, if you've ever used a yo-yo, you cannot get the yo-yo back up to your hand unless it fully extends the line and then it bounces back. You can't get it back. It'll just accelerate faster. we're close to that balancing point, that line hitting the bottom, and then it's got to bounce up. Yeah. Well, Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict Emeritus said that the church will become very small. It'll lose the edifices, the great buildings, the grandeur of the church. It'll look as if it's been destroyed. And then it'll rise through a small, small remnant to a more glorious splendorness that it perhaps once experienced with the apostles, but even greater, because now we've got the gift of the divine will. It's all here. It's all here, and it's so beautiful. Why don't we pause there? I don't want to overextend anyone. But Maureen, just a blessing, just to, again, to come together. We've got so much to be thankful for. I'd like
Yeah.
to repeat those quotes again. St. Anne Seton, oh my God, forgive what I have been, correct what I am, and direct what I shall be. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Thanks that he has the sense of humor to have selected us to journey in this
Yeah.
gift. What a sense of
Yeah.
humor he has.
You too.
Hey, love everyone. Oh, just a quick announcement. We've got, for lack of a better word, we've got a double header on Sunday, which the church celebrates the feast of the Epiphany. We have Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters. Actually, we have the Benedictine Daughters from Italy joining us live from via live stream at 2 p.m. So the daughters will be with us at 2 p.m. And then Father Celso will join us at 4 p.m. For a talk on the Feast of the Epiphany. So basically from 2 to 5, 3 hours in the afternoon, hopefully after the church times, we can make Sunday a day of holiness, and we can make this Sunday and every day for that matter, a divine will day. So hopefully I see everyone on Sunday for sisters and for Father Celso. Okay, love everyone. Be kind to
Bye,
one another.
everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.